Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where none of us are at San Diego Comic-Con. As always, I'm your phantom apparition, Zach, and joined with me are...
I don't want to steal because I feel like that's the only one Steve knows. The Immortal... Or, fuck, I can't remember any of them.
We have options in the notes.
Oh, I actually...
Zach literally... I'll just go ahead and read off the terrific member, Steven.
And the stretched out criminal, Zach. Yeah, we made it through. Thank God.
Yay.
You know, it's like this is the only time I've ever given you guys like things to say.
Because every other one, we can kind of guess something.
Yeah. This
one,
you're like, can work it out.
Fuck it, I'll pick one random piece of news and make the intro around that.
But it's the most important piece of news.
Yeah. It's the most important news.
It is.
It's the most important news.
Okay.
Super important.
The sole fact that, you know, Jeff Lemire's limited contract ran out at Marvel, and... You know, rather than just going full indie, because, you know, the man's a workhorse and writes like five or six different titles at the same time, he's like, I'm going to go back to DC and I'm going to write the Fantastic Four at DC. So the groundbreaking piece of news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con was Jeff Lemire's back at DC, and he is writing a series called The Terrifics, starring Mr. Terrific, Plastic Man, Metamorpho, the male version, not the female one, from Forever Evil, and Phantom Girl, who is typically known to be a member of the Legion of Superheroes, but Jeff Lemire says this is not the case. So that's really interesting to me. But I think it's just so cool, because Marvel has done such a great job shitting the bed lately, and instead of, you know, Lemire going, hey, Axel Alonso, I have the Fantastic Four story for you. Yeah, Fantastic Four doesn't sell. Okay. Hey, DC, I have a Fantastic Four story for you.
All right, reskin in, you're hired.
Yeah. And I think it's cool because, like, this iteration of the team is, like, composed of Batman's outsiders, according to The Forge. And then we also have freaking Plastic Man coming back, his first ever appearance since Convergence. And that's not really counting anything. And it's going to be that family title, which aims to capture the feeling of the Stan Lee Jack Kirby era of the Fantastic Four. And it's kind of funny because Marvel keeps going on saying, like, oh, these certain titles don't sell. Diversity doesn't sell. Family doesn't sell. Superman's like DC's top selling book, and it's about the Kent family doing things together.
And I love the tweet I saw. It's like a story in three pictures. Or is the article from Marvel like, yeah, diversity just doesn't sell. People don't want to see comics about other races and women. And then it immediately shows Wonder Woman set to be the highest ranking superhero movie ever.
And highest grossing.
Yeah.
Not ranking.
And it's the highest grossing film of the entire summer. Yeah. It just passed up Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
But no one cares about diversity.
Nope.
No one.
No, let's not mind the little girl who got to meet Gal Gadot. I've fumbled a little. I'm tired as fuck.
Let us also be reminded of the one Asian on the podcast. My barber today was like, oh, what are you doing? How long until you go back to school? I'm like, oh, you know, August and everything. She's like, oh, what grade are you going to be in? I'm like, oh, I'm a teacher. And she's like, really? You look like you're in high school. I'm like, thank you.
I don't think that's a compliment. It's like a backhanded one.
Bitch, I'm Asian. I'm going to stay young forever.
Yeah, you'll reach that. What's the whole thing? Like, Asians look the same until about 50, and then 60. They just immediately age.
My mom's 50.
I thought it was they stay the same age until they're 70. And they immediately transform into old stereotypical.
How old is Jackie Chan?
He's getting up there. And he has a new movie coming out.
I can't wait. Oh, my God.
Well, there was another.
It's Taken, but the daughter dies.
There was another. Kung Fu action movie, Triple Threat.
Yes.
I didn't watch the trailer, but I'm like, okay, it looks neat.
Very action packed and intense.
It looks like a Kung Fu action film. But yeah, I'm actually excited because all of the Dark Matter titles, there's been no release date yet for any of them, but all the books are going to be $2.99.
Woo!
There are no variants.
Woo!
And yeah, I mean,
some of the variants are cool sometimes.
Jackie Chan is 63 years old.
And he looks like a saint.
Wow. Exactly. I honestly thought he was in his 70s.
He is Asian. He will not age until he hits 70, and then it'll be immediate switch to the stereotypical old Asian person.
Well, he is going to be
for a man.
He will become
giant
uncle.
He is going to be that character in the Lego Ninjago movie too.
He's going to be Sensei Wu.
Yeah. And one of the other cool things is they also announced a new Dark Matter title called Brimstone. There's no details on it, but they've announced that Justin Jordan, who wrote Green Lantern New Guardians, is going to be writing it. He also did some work recently for Vertigo. And then Philip Tan's going to be doing the art. And it's just a dude in a cloak, and then everything around him is just smoke. And I'm like, damn it, this character looks so cool.
I really want to read Silencer, but at the same time, fucking John Romita Jr. is doing the art. And I don't want that.
But Abnett.
I was going to say, I'm going to give it a chance because Abnett.
And it's like, oh, if it was, John Romita's going to fuck it up because
of
the art.
I mean, it's better than Immortal Men. James Tynan and Jim Lee. The story is just never going to come out.
It'll take a year for it to get one issue done.
Unless that's what Jim Lee's secretly working on. Like, can't let Suicide Squad happen over again where we had three different artists. I messed up, man.
It did give us Cedric, though. Cedric just needs to touch everything.
That is true.
Confirmed.
Currently, my girlfriend is watching a jousting match.
Well, that's neat.
Yay, verily.
I'm kind of jealous.
She's okay. At Ren Faire?
Yeah, she's at Ren Faire. RenCon.
RenCon.
Speaking of Romita, though, Frank Miller just dropped in during the DC Masterclass panel. I mean, you know, it's all the different artists and teachers. So he's just on stage. Like, he shows up unannounced. Greg Capullo and Tony Daniel are just looking at him. It's like, what's going on? It's like, hey, these guys, you should learn something from them. By the way, I'm writing a new story called Superman Year One. John Romita Jr. is doing the art, and it's a 100-page graphic novel. And then, like, and then it just cuts to like a picture of Superman in the sky. Or no, it's like, I'm writing a new superhero story. It may not be a guy with glasses, and it's like, Miller, what are you doing? But you gotta think, Frank Miller's name, even if, you know, Dark or Master Race aside, the dude has wrote such phenomenal stories that are essentially like, you know, the canon of comic books and graphic novels. You have 300, you have Sin City, Batman Year One, the original Dark Knight. It's like, those are part of the canon. But like his recent work, but it could be surprising. It could be like a Dark Horse, like how Last Crusade was.
True. Dark Crusade was probably the best part of Master Race.
Yeah. Seeing Jason Todd get beat to death with the crowbar.
Because he made one mad mistake.
That was his fault.
Yep.
Fucking Jason Todd making mistakes. Dick Grayson will never let that happen. But no, that version of Batman had to get Dick had to get fired. But again, you know, everyone's like, oh god, is this gonna be canon? Are we getting another Superman origin story? It's the Millerverse. Give the guy a break.
I don't care about it enough to read it, though.
Like I said, it might be surprisingly good. Who knows?
Eh.
It's
like he's fault. His weight carries such name.
His weight carries such name?
I cannot
his
think
name
straight.
Carries such weight?
Yes. But it seems like everybody forgets that he really hasn't written that many great things since Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, you know, the past decade's been hit or miss. But let's not forget about Holy Terror.
What?
I think it was Holy Terror. It's like, it's what he wanted his, like, third Batman book to be, and it's like Batman fighting Muslim terrorists.
Oh, okay.
That's cool,
I guess.
It was either him or Alan Moore who wanted to do that, but it was not received.
It literally could be either of them. It literally could.
But hey, Alan Moore came out of retirement again.
Yeah, and then he's going to re-retire once he's done again.
It's the Miyazaki effect at this point.
Yeah, he just can't stop working until he dies on...
He finished Jerusalem. Like, if you go and get that, it's like a massive, like, 6-inch book. Like, I've been meaning to get it because I'm like, I just want to know what was going on in his head. Yeah. There's a lot of news. San Diego Comic-Con. I just want to be there one day. Maybe one day we'll be big enough to do this.
Looking at the pictures, I'm like...
So you want to be where the people are?
Yeah.
You want to see?
We made that joke last year.
Want to see them conning?
I make that joke for RTX.
You make that joke for any event you want to go to, but you didn't.
Yeah. But I only have the one GIF of the RTX.
From like Ariel. 3 years ago?
Yes. I save that one every year, except for the year we did go. What was it? I just find it odd Miller's writing a Superman story, though, because he goes on to say how much he hates Superman and then the way he treats Superman in every story. But I guess, like, you know, Dark Knight Master Race 7 and 8, when Batman's like, oh my god, he's been holding back the entire time. Oh, and then god, Superman just destroys someone. Yeah. Other sad news is that Young Animal, their imprint is going away. They're essentially being adopted into the Vertigo imprint. They're still Young Animal titles, but under Vertigo. And Shade, the Changing Girl, is going on hiatus after issue 12.
Your nightmare.
I don't know how to cope. Fear. But I guess it's part of a bigger plan, because Gerard Way is doing a crossover series with the DCU in January. So I guess of the characters that they have, Doom Patrol and Mother Panic, Violet, those are the characters that make the most sense to do the crossover annual with.
Since they're kind of already embedded in there.
Yeah, I mean, Shade just went to Gotham, but there was no Batman or any sidekicks. She just turned a bunch of people young again and then left. Yeah, Shade goes wherever the madness goes. Or she brings madness with her.
Yeah.
I
wonder if it was just easier for them to just put it under Vertigo. Since
probably.
Like, I mean, this fits with the style that Vertigo has already, so let's just move it under there.
And I mean, Mark Doyle is... I guess Vertigo kind of became this thing for like independent titles, but now that...
Well, that's how it originally started, yeah, right?
And things like Hellblazer, The Invisible Sandman, and all of those jazz, they were just indie Vertigo titles, and then people slowly started leaking them into the DCU. Like, I think Constantine first appeared in Swamp Thing in like the 40 or issue 40 or something like that, and then that created the relationship that they're known for
and
today.
Some people argue that was their biggest mistake, of Constantine getting taken. For some people,
it's not violent or dark enough.
The purists, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, like, the original Shade was a Vertigo title, too, but that was because he possessed the body of a serial killer.
Yeah.
But hey, Preacher never made it to the DCU.
No. Yet.
Please, no. I don't think Warren Ellis would ever, or Garth Ennis would ever allow that.
I don't think it would ever. There's no way you could make that really work, I think.
Yeah. Other like
multiverse. the answer to everything. Multiverse.
Local hyper time.
The Dooku.
No Dooku. Please no Dooku.
Dooku is in serious trouble after the mummy flopped.
Yep. Dooku, no.
Every tweet I've seen about Valerian, because I was thinking about going to see it tomorrow for like a matinee. It's like, yeah, it's a beautiful movie, but like, man, imagine Fifth Element without any memorable characters. I'm like, god damn it.
I just wanted
it to be
good. That's a shame. Like, looking at it, I was like, I bet that movie's beautiful. I guarantee it's going to be trash, though.
It's an indie film. It's not even owned by any studio.
Huh. I just saw trailer after trailer for that thing, though.
It looks so good, though.
Probably because it's not under any major studio. They've just, like, we have to advertise this.
They have to make $350 million.
Oh, they're not going to get that.
To make their cost back.
I'm so sorry. They're not going to get that.
They made $17 million at the box office so far.
Yeah, they're not going to get that. Well, what I actually learned that it was originally a French graphic novel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty neat. But
I think John might have a copy at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just watching the trailer, I didn't understand what the plot was. I didn't understand who the characters were.
It was pretty, though.
Yeah. I'm just like, this is very pretty and appealing.
But it's Dane DeHaan.
Don't know what's going on.
Fanning, I think.
No, what? It's not Dakota Fanning.
It's,
can't remember her name.
Evangeline. Cara DeVangeline? Enchantress.
Yeah, it's her.
I think it's Cara DeVangeline or Cara Evangeline.
Okay. Other news while Zach is doing a Google. Duke Thomas is finally going to get his own ongoing series. Batman The Signal, co-written by Scott Snyder and Tony Patrick, who was part of the DC Masterclass.
Cara Delevingne. Yes, I think so. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, I think it's Delevingne.
But Duke Thomas getting his own title. I mean, that's pretty cool. I love We Are Robin. And getting
his own title.
Yeah. Double
title.
Essentially, his character is going to be the Batman by day. So, like, while Bruce is being Bruce Wayne, he's going to be doing crime stuff during the daylight, which is a cool dichotomy.
So does that mean in Duke's story we're actually going to see Bruce Wayne being Bruce Wayne?
I hope so.
Because all we've seen in the Batman series is just Batman.
Hey, we saw him get the dog. That's an Eisner Award-winning comic, Steve.
So we saw him as Bruce Wayne for a panel.
Yes.
One.
No, he was Bruce Wayne when he talked to Swamp Thing.
Yes. But is Bruce Wayne really the mask? Yes.
Yes, it is.
But again, it's the subreddits everywhere are so whiny about it. It's like, oh, Snyder's pet project is getting its own title. Look how well that happened with Harper Row. And it's like,
hey, leave Harper out of this.
I know. It's like, but Harper series really never did take off, which is sad. And now we have Duke, and it's like, we really want him to be important, but everyone just keeps referring to him as Snyder's pet project. I mean, look, you can't make any changes to the comic industry without letting these experiments happen.
I think the problem that happened with Harper is we saw her in the main Batman title once, and then she was kind of there here and there, but didn't really do much, unlike Duke, who's been... he's part of the freaking Dark... He's part of Metal now.
Yeah, well, Harper's...
Like, he plays a bigger role in the overall Batman story. Harper was just this side character that was cool and had this cool design, but didn't really get to shine until Batman and Robin Eternal.
Well, she was also in the original Eternal series as Batman Psychic, but again, you're right, because the original Eternal series is like, let's find a way to introduce Stephanie now, after Harper's tag teaming it up with Batman, which is sad, because I love both of those characters. I really don't ever want Duke to fade into obscurity, same with like the Gotham Academy kids. Like, I hope they have a new place eventually, because I would cry if Maps and Damian never interact again.
Mm-hmm.
Other cool news. Actually, this is one of the most exciting things, other than the animated stuff that they showed. But Grant Morrison is going to be writing a new Arkham Asylum graphic novel.
Woo!
So the original Arkham Asylum series, House on Earth, was like a deconstruction of the Silver Age into the modern age. Like, the art is like horrifying. It's like super scratchy and like watercolory.
Like witches-esque.
I would say even more abstract, but it's like the Riddler sitting there. It's like, do you remember the days when the Joker just played pranks? Now everyone's just killing each other out there, Batman. What are you going to do? And now Arkham Asylum 2 is going to be Damian Wayne as Batman going into the asylum.
Ooh.
So Chris Burnham's drawing it. So essentially, you know, two of Damian's biggest little creators other than Frank Quitely. So it's going to be kind of cool to see this all come together. I love Grant Morrison. I love his DC stuff.
Should we take bets on what drug he smoked before writing this?
Crack. No.
Crack the ongoing joke that we made of, like, what you wonder of what Grant Morrison was doing when he wrote this.
Yeah. Like, you know, Damian's whole story was Grant catharticizing his parents' divorce. And then that's why Damian died, apparently.
Hmm.
And then Tomasi was like, no, we got to bring him back. And thankfully, he stayed dead for a year. But I'm excited for that. And then we also get Wonder Woman Earth 1 Volume 2. I don't have any hardcore feelings about it, but to see Grant come back with Yannick, I mean, the art's going to be gorgeous, and then the story is going to be weird as fuck.
Yep.
So, yeah, I love Morrison. The old guard.
We need some more Morrison in our lives.
I want that other Multiversity comic.
Yes. Where is it? Where is number two?
Multiversity 2.
You think it happens after this whole Dark Universe thing?
Maybe.
Or is it becomes part of it?
It's actually just going to be another deconstruction.
It's like, meanwhile, all this has a happening.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that version of the Justice League, I can't remember, the Justice Legion, I think they're called, they appeared in Superman, like, super briefly, and then nothing else. So it'd be really cool to see them come. God, I just want to go to Comic-Con. It's so cool. Stay I want to be there for 3 hours. Out. Yeah.
For Hall H.
Dude, Hall H, that's where dreams are made. Apparently, people were walking around, and Ezra Miller was dressed up as Edward Elric.
Yep.
No one knew it was him. Again,
the one image they show with the guy next to him is just like, what the fuck's this guy?
Why are all these cameras pointed? Should I take a photo? It's just as good as how apparently the Justice League have like their own bus to get to and from the con, and Ray Fisher told the driver to stop in the middle of traffic, and he got out to take a photo with two people dressed up as Cyborg.
Oh my god.
Like, that's loving your role. Mm-hmm. Your movie hasn't even come out yet, and you're hyped. Like, come on, man. But they also announced some new animated stuff. One of them's going to be on CWC. One of them's going to be on DC's new streaming service. But the something called a Young Justice Season 3. They showed concept art.
Are you sure it's not Young Just Ice?
It might be Young Just Ice. I did like, think I saw Icicle Jr.
Like I think it's about a very justice based ice,
and they're called the Outsiders because they're outside the freezer, right?
Yes.
Okay. That takes the whole snow episode from season one to another level.
Yeah.
But yeah, Young Justice season 3.
Woo, we're getting closer.
26 episodes, going to skew more towards a more mature audience because it is being streamed.
As if it wasn't already.
Failsafe. Pretty kid friendly.
Fail safe, man.
Hey, man, when I have kids that I teach come up to me, it's like, oh, man, Blue Beetle's my favorite character. I'm like, how the hell do you know about Blue Beetle? That's such an obscure character. And it's like, yeah, he's my favorite alongside Tim Drake. I'm like, whoa, you can name a Robin? This is my favorite student now. Not
even the first one?
Screw Tim Drake. Love him to death.
And then there's poor Jason Todd, who never even had a chance to be in Young Justice.
Apparently at the Q&A, someone asked them, it's like, are we ever going to see Jason Todd? And then Didi just like puts his head on the table and says nothing.
I would have been like, you already have. Yeah. You've seen the hologram.
Just like we saw Ted Kord. Ted. But
they're dead, you know.
They do have a new cast. We've seen Spoiler, Stephanie Brown, Arrowette.
Which they teased in season 2 now that I remember.
Yeah, and Arrowette was in season 1.
Ooh.
Sissy King. We actually have the original Young Justice team on the lineup now, which that's is pretty legit. Phenomenal. Shout out to Peter David. Tracy 13, magic user. And then the other concept art we've seen is Robin with a new costume, Beast Boy with a new costume, Arsenal looking the same, Kid Flash with a new costume.
Kid Flash Bart. Bart Allen.
Blue Beetle, Static with a new costume, and Wonder Girl. Hype. Hype. And, you know, Robin and Wonder Girl are secretly holding hands and that season 2 finale. And then Greg even straight up said, it's like, yeah, we showed that dark side thing because we didn't know we were getting renewed. I'm like,
but business as usual.
Yeah. We also did see members of the old team. We see Nightwing, Artemis, and Superboy just in like a Black Ops outfit. And for once, Dick Grayson isn't wearing glasses or a mask. And we also see Black Lightning with a dad beard. So that's really exciting, I suppose. But yeah, all these, again, Young Justice, if you've never watched it, is the best.
What are you doing with your life?
Animated feature they've ever made. Maybe even topping Batman the Animated Series, and that kind of hurts me to say that.
I think it's a lot more well-rounded.
Yes.
In terms of what they did with the story, what they did with the characters.
Well, because Batman the Animated Series wasn't really serial. It was all one-to-two-shot
episodic.
Yeah. There was no connecting factor, really. Whereas Young Justice had the
overarching plot.
Yes.
And then individual episodes that dealt with certain issues.
Like the mental health episode.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
a great episode.
What happens when you watch all of your friends die and all of your mentors die?
Or learning to accept yourself, like Miss Martian.
Yeah, and like
that's who we didn't see Miss Martian in that lineup either. No, where the fuck is Miss Martian?
Concept art. Apparently, they already have 12 scripts written. 10 episodes are already done voice acted wise, and they're just waiting on the animation to come in. So it's like, oh my god, it's coming closer.
We're so close.
The other new animated thing that they showed is Freedom Fighters and the Ray, which I'm excited about because it's motherfucking Ray. But it takes place on Earth X, where the Nazis won World War II.
Okay.
It's a CW seed show.
Is this the same Earth that Superman was landed in Nazi Germany?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the same Earth that we also saw in Convergence, back with the Plastic Man and Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters.
I didn't read that one.
Oh, it's so good. That's one of my favorite Convergence one-shots. But
I'm remembering from Multiversity with Superman overthrowing the Nazis because he's tired of their bullshit.
Yep. So the main cast is the Ray and the Freedom Fighters. So we do see Black Condor. We see other characters. I don't even know their names because they're such C-list, D-list characters. But the motherfucking Ray. And we see the villains. We see them actually destroy Red Tornado in the trailer. And the villains are the Arrow, the Flash, and Supergirl, voiced by Stephen Amell, Grant Gustin, and Melissa Benoist.
Why would they do that to my poor baby Arrow?
I think it's cool, because we get to see the motherfucking Ray.
But Nazi Arrow.
It's a really interesting.
Why must you make my Arrow a Nazi?
Why did they make Superman a Nazi?
Because
he landed in Nazi Germany.
He became the symbol for the Ubermensch.
Yep.
He didn't decide to be raised by Nazis. He just was. But that doesn't mean you have to turn my sweet baby Arrow into a Nazi.
But it's a really cool
story. Doesn't necessarily
mean
he has the Nazi ideals.
But
it's just be following orders.
The Americans, the freedom fighters, trying to overthrow the Nazi regime. It's like Man in a High Tower, but with DC characters.
High Castle.
Yeah, why couldn't Arrow be on the good guy's side? Or even the Flash, for that matter. Why? They got to be the Nazis.
Because you did not see that coming.
Go fuck yourself.
I'm excited. Other cool things. Krypton. Sci-fi show, finally.
Did they get a new logo yet? Because I hate the logo they use.
Oh, just the planet?
The, like, crumbled planet. I'm like, this looks so cheap.
Yeah.
It is
just
sci-fi.
Like Medusa's hair. But we'll get to that.
I don't even think I have any Marvel news.
I just want to talk shit about how bad that looked.
I didn't think it looked that bad.
That's not how her hair works.
It's a TV budget.
Exactly.
The Inhumans could have been a movie.
Yeah,
but,
should have been.
Krypton. It's a show that although it takes place centuries ago on Krypton, about the House of El, it's a conspiracy from the present that has traveled back in time to Krypton to prevent Superman's legacy from ever happening, says Jeff Johns at the show's panel. The show is going to start in 2018, and DC villains jump back in time to prevent the creation of Superman, and two heroes go back into the past to stop them, Adam Strange and Hawkwoman. Of all the heroes you could have sent, Adam Strange and Hawkwoman.
The copyrights were free.
Yeah. I know. So the two of them go back in time to stop this conspiracy. We're going to see Doomsday in the show. We're going to see Brainiac on screen. And I think they also confirmed that the Kryptonian gods of Nightwing and Flamebird are also going to appear.
Oh, neat.
I might give this show a shot. I've watched every season one of all of the DC shows, including Gotham. And Gotham got really weird.
Gotham season one is probably the worst season out of all of them, too.
Yeah, and Gotham got I've
once they
I'm
like
almost caught
it
up.
Just about the villains, it was apparently really good.
Yeah,
it
Bruce
is,
Wayne's
but it
clone,
gets weird.
Bruce Wayne's clone,
Thomas Wayne,
the
Jr.
Not Joker. It's weird. Fish Mooney's weird. Yeah,
but hey, they did Death of the Family.
It was weird.
It was.
I think the last bit of DC news before we ever talk about trailers is that Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart are confirmed for the Green Lantern Corps movie. So according to like the Justice League trailer 2, the Corps already exists. So this movie may be about them rebuilding the Corps.
After the whole Steppenwolf
Yeah.
Fiasco.
And they better include the best characters like Ba-Ox, Chip, Gnort, Booster Gold.
They don't have Kilowog. They have done a disservice. Mogu.
The living planet.
Mogo.
Mogo.
Mogu. Mogu sounds like a delicious food.
Sounds like fugu.
Fugu.
That's fugu fish.
Let's get some mochi.
Let's get some sushi.
Some boba. But no Guy Gardner. I mean,
or Kyle.
They're skipping they skip over Guy because John Stewart was the third Green Lantern. I mean, come on. What happened to Guy Gardner?
We don't talk about him.
We should all talk about
him. Look, even Young Justice didn't want to talk about him.
It's the ongoing. Maybe we should
add Guy Gardner to the Justice League. No.
And then that gives Guy the chance to start the Young Justice International.
Now.
But, okay, imagine it like this. We get Guy Gardner, we get to see the punch heard around the world. Where Batman just clocks him in the face.
That'll just be how the movie starts. It's like, there was a third one. Doof! Was.
Guy has one of the most tragic backstories of all the Lanterns, too. Doesn't his dad, like, hate him?
Yeah, his dad's an alcoholic. Used to beat him. Yeah. And because Guy became public as a Green Lantern, no one wanted to hire him. He tried to be a police officer. He was a police officer, and then he got kicked out of the force. He tried to become a gym teacher, and they told him no, because if people knew he was working at that school, villains would attack it all the time. And that's why Guy's no longer on Earth and dicks around in space. And, you know, he had the highest ranking Earth Lantern. Just saying, he was part of the High Guard.
Did they have much choice? Train
Disc and Simon.
Yeah. They had choice.
Him or nothing?
No, I mean, like, even Green Lantern, the animated series, they appoint him over, like, Hal. And it's like, yeah, he's just a better Lantern. Even the news crews in that show like Guy better than Hal, which is very much Hal Jordan luck. Because no one likes him. Poor Hal. But hey,
we could have had
Guy Gardner, John Stewart drinking buddy scenes, though. But I guess we have to settle for Hal Jordan, John Stewart drinking buddies.
Don't sound too disappointed.
I'm really disappointed. Like I said, that movie's going to be like all CGI. And if they don't go weird with some of the aliens, I'm going to be really upset.
Well, let's not get too weird.
Like, I want to see Gnort, because he's just such an obscure... He's Lar Flees' cousin.
Okay.
He's just really obscure looking. But he looks like Al.
But let's be real, they need do Chip.
They need to, yes.
Like, to have Hal Jordan and John Stewart talking about saving the universe, and then a fucking squirrel flies up. Like, yeah, let's do it.
They also have to have Kilowog, right?
Yeah. If
they don't have Kilowog, they fail.
This is automatic F.
Bam. No Kilowog, 0 out of 10.
I would love to see Sinestro actually be a good guy, though, for an entire movie.
Yeah, that'd be pretty neat.
He was a good guy for the Ryan Reynolds one.
Kind of.
He was Sinestro.
Yes.
And then at the end, he's like, yellow ring, neat. After the fart cloud got destroyed.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Marvel news. There's not really much because all of Marvel's stuff came like late last night and they're coming today. So we're probably going to miss a lot of stuff. But Mark Waid and Chris Samnee are taking over Captain America for Legacy, leaving behind Nick Spencer for who knows what. And then Brian Michael Bendis is going to stay on Spider-Man, which will be renumbered to 234. So do you think that's like the ultimate numbering?
It has to be, right? That's the only...
I think the only thing they've shown the numbering for was like Amazing Spider-Man, of how they got to like 700 something whatever. 86,
84. I'm going to find out. It sounds like the ultimate numbering.
Because 150 came out before they made the switch over to Ultimate Comics Miles Morales. Right?
I think so. I think they hit 200. Steve has no
opinion either way. He's just like, cool, Spider-Man, Bendis, neat. Zach's going to read that. I'm going to read that. Yeah, Steve's just nodding. He's tired today.
Just not with it.
Yeah, 200. So 200 was the last Ultimate Spider-Man. Then they went to Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man, which had what, like...
12.
Yeah, so that had 12, so they bring it up to 212. And then this Spider-Man, what issue are they on now?
21 was the recent, most recent.
So yeah, that would line up. They're literally just adding the Ultimate number.
Okay. It's going to be weird in like 10 years when you come back. It's like, oh man, what was the next story? In Spider-Man 25, read issue 234 to find out.
Got it. What do you mean 234? What do they do in between?
God, that'd be so confusing for John if you skip a couple pickups. It's like Spider-Man 25, Spider-Man 234.
Again, I didn't necessarily mind it when DC made the switch for action and detective, because those made sense.
Because it was literally like, all right, we're going to take the old numbering from the series that already existed, not take another series.
Not take the 52 from the other detective.
Yeah. Or take the 200 from Ultimate Spider-Man and then add it to Miles's number because we wanted a higher number.
But if you think about it, maybe we are going to get some more details about what happened to Ultimate Peter and MJ. Because in Ultimate Squared number 9, you see the Ultimates again. Like, you see Cap, you see Wasp, who's not Eden, you see the Hulk, you see Giant Man, who's not dead, you see Iron Man, who's probably still an alcoholic. But, like, what's happening? I just want to know. Because if they bring back the Ultimate Universe... and they bring back Ultimate Peter, that'd be really cool. Because I guess the synopsis for 234 is like, who is the Iron Spider? Find out. Don't roll your eyes. You're going to read it.
It was more of just like, okay, so what? In between now and then, we have Iron Spider showing up.
Yes. I don't know,
could
man.
Be Peter. Who knows?
Yeah, like I said, other than that and, like, the Marvel movie trailers, that's the only thing that I've seen.
I didn't see much.
So, let's talk about Marvel right now. So, we saw the Thor Ragnarok trailer.
Which looks just ridiculously fun.
Yeah, Taika Waititi.
It's super lighthearted for the fact that they're dealing with the goddess of death, and she's just killing everything in sight.
And she repeatedly says she's going to take the throne, and we see Fenrir possibly. But it looks, again, I can understand why they did like the retro thing, because they even have that Ghostbusters moment where they have like the laser beams. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this anyways, but I'm extra sold on it now.
Yeah, it just looks like fun. It really does.
But again, I feel like we saw the world's most giant spoiler when Thor comes crashing down covered in lightning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Thor learned the lightning was inside of him all along.
He didn't need it. It wasn't in the hammer.
Steve, what are your thoughts?
It just looks amazing.
Yeah.
They're finally adapting Planet Hulk to the capacity that we're going to get it, because we're never going to get another solo Hulk movie that the way things are going.
Probably not.
Well, Mark Ruffalo has repeatedly said that it's just never going to happen. Yeah. Did you ever watch the animated World War Hulk?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, World War or Planet Hulk?
No, Planet Hulk.
Yes.
Yeah. That was
a good
one. They
threw in Beta Ray Bill. And...
so we can still... Do you ever think they're going to see Beta Ray Bill? They didn't spoil that. There's still a chance.
Yeah. And then, guy,
it would be weird, though.
It could make sense, though. Because,
he could be in the Colosseum.
The hammer, since it got destroyed, it went and found someone else.
Planet Hulk, Beta Ray Bill already had his powers and already had the hammer that Odin forged for him. So it'd be skipping a lot, and then
Thor... in the poster, Odin's there, but we haven't seen him in the trailer.
He's a homeless man.
Oh, yeah,
allegedly.
That's right.
Yeah, but we're talking a whole storyline that they're just going to be like, oh yeah, BT Dubs, Beta Ray Bill exists. Thor will be like, hey, Dad.
What's this horse head guy
it's
doing?
The new Thor. We don't need you. Also, Volstagg is Thor now. It's making me mad.
And I did like you know, yes, they put out spoilers, but then again, it's a Thor movie. What groundbreaking, blow-your-mind plot twist could they have?
The Hulk actually speaks, which they showed in the trailer.
Yeah.
Well, the Hulk already kind of spoken.
But he was actually eloquent.
Right, because I think... Well, no, he was eloquent in the end of Age of Ultron when he was flying off in the Quinjet.
Did he actually say anything?
He didn't say anything. I don't think he said anything, but he was he had control.
Yeah, he had a more intelligent, kind of like he and Banner made their deal. Like,
yeah,
we can share the body, but we're going to be smart about it.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Like, oh, what new thing are we going to learn about the Hulk? What if they kept Loki a secret the entire time, and when Loki came back, everyone was like, oh no. The supporting character from all the other movies.
But I like how they're going, like, more towards this Ragnarok theme of, like,
yeah,
here's Hel. She wants to end Asgard.
Ragnarok. She wants to summon Ragnarok.
You got Fenrir, the wolf of Ragnarok. Surtur, the giant fiery demon of Hel, essentially.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
It's like, this looks amazing. I don't know how they're going to pack it all in with a very concise story, but I'm excited.
Hey, man. Taika Waititi was able to pull off a jumper, a floral jumper at SCCC. He can pull this off.
And then I'm assuming Doctor Strange is going to be in it for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, let's maybe go find your dad. Oh, hey, look, it's Hel.
Well, he's in the very beginning of it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. And then when Hel comes up, it's like behind Doctor Strange's house and he gets blown away when the hammer gets
my
destroyed.
My guess is after Hel destroys his hammer, she just teleports him somewhere. Or on
she takes him to
captured.
Takes him to Hel. The other Hel.
Are you wondering how I got here?
Thou art probably wondering how I became into this predicament.
Yeah. And then, like, the new Inhumans trailer came out. It looks like it'll be a ride. Like, I think it'll be better than the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just because of they know what they're doing.
First season was good.
I did enjoy most of that first season. But I feel... I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I'm not a big Inhumans budget.
The trailer gives me a little more
that budget,
hope
though.
For it. And again, all we've seen are just little snippets. They're not going to pull out their granddaddy portion of the budget for the first episode.
Well, the first episode is being made into a movie.
Right.
Essentially.
They're going to have a chunk of the budget, but they're going to save like all of the top-of-the-line stuff to make a cliffhanger at the end like they always do with S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like, here's a medium...
Do they always do that?
S.H.I.E.L.D. always does that. Well, they always have like a medium episode for the season starter to be like, All right, let's see where this goes. And then they have their story, and then the season finale, it's like... Just throw everything, cliffhanger.
The only S.H.I.E.L.D. I've watched is the stuff I watched with you. So I saw the first season and then the fourth season. So I'm like, oh, Bobby appeared at some point? Oh, neat.
Something about Hydra.
I miss Bobby.
Her spinoff never took off.
Nope.
Marvel's most dangerous, most wanted. And then we also have The Gifted that's coming out, which is essentially like Heroes meets the X-Men, but not really.
Meets the Runaways.
No, it's Heroes, but someone stapled an X-Men comic on it and be like, look, it's X-Men.
But they're all running away from the agency her dad works for. So
kinda
it's
like
the second...
Kind of like a group of runaways.
So it's the second half of the first season.
When you started watching the trailer, I like walked away for a minute and came back. I'm like, oh, is this the Runaways trailer? Oh, no, it's still Gifted? Okay, I can't tell. Well, and it seems like it's the same thing.
I'm pretty sure from the trailer, they showed like all of the major action scenes for the whole season.
That was it.
And then they're just going to be like, well, we got them here. Here's some drama. Here's some kids crying. Here's some existential crisis.
Here's Blink. But
the Blink scene was pretty cool with her sitting there with the tennis ball, makes her portals, just throws, and just whoop, hit the cord.
It wasn't me!
I hit the cord.
Which in
it still moved
you
the mic.
Everything else.
There's a big shift.
You want to like tilt it back, you know?
Tilt the physical mic
like
towards you. He has his pointed straight up right now.
I'm just going to mute that
real quick. That's how the mic was.
Sure. Okay. Fine.
If I can't physically turn it like that, there's no way me slapping the cord.
It's fine. We'll deal with it.
Slap of the cord. Yeah. It looks interesting. It doesn't look as ABC Family as a Cloak and Dagger.
Well, it's on Fox, for one thing.
I know. But, hey, you know, Legion was like, no one had any expectations for Legion, and it turned out phenomenal.
Then again, that was FX. FX has a lot more liberties to do since they're a premium station.
Are they premium? I thought FXX. Well,
they're not one of your standard, you can get this on a antenna, like the local stations like Fox, ABC.
Okay.
So they have a little more liberty.
That's right. Are any of you, I mean, I know I am, but are you guys just getting really exhausted with the amount of new shows they keep releasing?
No.
I don't.
You don't watch TV anymore.
No, because there's too many things. I'm just like, I don't care enough to watch these because it's that same problem of like, my time is valuable and I only want to watch things that I 100% guarantee I'm going to enjoy from start to finish.
That's fair.
Like My Hero Academia, I'm on the fucking hype train for.
Zach watched the last three episodes of the second season. It's like, oh, I guess I'll watch this now.
To be fair, I did the same thing with you.
Yeah.
Is I put I watched, on
you showed me
I the, put on one fight and then put on the last episode of I, the
But think arc. About how much time we would have saved instead of watching the entire series twice when all three of us could have just sat there.
Oh. Twice. Adorable.
Like our new show is New Game. Yeah, so you watched it five times. Our new show is New Game, which is about a bunch of game developers.
They have all of the tropes. So and even one who's secretly not the trope you think she is.
Tsundere is actually Moe. Yeah. But other,
she's just shy.
Some things that haven't been a trailer, but we got new animated slated films, Death of Superman, Return of Superman, Gotham by Gaslight, Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay. I'm happy they're breaking up the two Superman films. Kind of like how they broke up Dark Knight.
Yeah, that would have been too much to try and, like, to get all of the big points.
Well, I mean, you have two story arcs, essentially, going on there.
Sorry.
Your body disgusts me sometimes.
I know. It disgusts me, too. You don't have to look in the mirror, Steve. But imagine if this is going to be just a straight adaptation, like how Dark Knight was. We could say Booster Gold get punched into space. We get to see Blue Beetle get the shit beaten out of him.
The Wonder Metropolis Woman. Kid.
Superboy.
Don't call him Superboy.
I can't wait. Steel. John Henry Irons.
I feel like, though, Max Landis needs to make an appearance. Just put an animated Max Landis somewhere. Just
somewhere yelling.
It's him in his Watch Chronicle shirt.
Watch Chronicle, and he's like yelling during the Superman fight, quit just punching each other!
It's like a couple of frat bros going at it punching each other. See which one gets knocked out first.
Could have lobotomized Doomsday like he did in Justice League, just saying. But Superman wouldn't do that.
Superman.
Do you think they're going to go like full 80s with this adaptation? Like we're going to get mullet Superman 90s. And everything else? 90s?
It was the 90s.
Okay.
Black suit mullet Superman?
Yes.
Just comes out of nowhere and takes out the Eradicator.
It would be beautiful. I would shed a single tear. No,
Cyborg Superman.
He fucks them both up.
Truth. We also got confirmation that Wonder Woman 2 is happening. It has a slated date. Jeff Johns is writing the script. Patty Jenkins is returning. Gal Gadot is returning. We might see Steve Trevor, maybe. Who knows? Like I said, Steve Trevor. Banking on Steve Trevor's grandson.
There was a rumor I saw that it was going to take place in the 80s.
Yep, and it's going to take place in America.
In America.
Ooh. Ghost of Steve Trevor.
Ghost Steve Trevor in the 80s.
Everyone's getting high.
Disco is dead.
What if it's Wonder Woman who breaks down the Berlin Wall?
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
She just kicks it down.
I got this.
Weird. We didn't even let the crane go. How did it fall down so easily? Suicide Squad 2 is also being slated. The rumor is right now that Matthew Vaughn is going to direct. So if it's anything like what I've seen of Kingsman,
okay,
that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think that would work better.
Kingsman has great action
Kingsman
scenes.
2 is coming out pretty soon, too.
Yep, The Golden Circle.
And the graphic
Colin
novel.
Firth's back.
Colin Firth, Channing Tatum, Jeff Bridges.
I assume they something happens to Colin cousins. Firth. Oh, yeah. The what? Statesman. Yeah. I still haven't watched the first one.
Oh, yeah, Colin Firth gets fucked.
Steve and I are actually going to watch it today.
Oh,
well, fuck. Probably
allegedly,
because I'm going
over. Well, he gets fucked multiple times, physically.
I dropped my phone. I don't know what else is happening. But the biggest news, the greatest news, the coolest news.
It's all right news.
Justice League Trailer 2. I can't wait. It's such a
hype
trailer.
I hope they make the CGI look a little better. That's my one concern. Because
literally,
it's
so weird that you complained about the CGI in Justice League, but did not say a word about it in Thor. Which both
because
of those worlds are entirely
right,
CGI generated.
Because Thor was a lot cleaner. Justice League, I could literally see like the characters land, and just it looks like they were just copy pasted into a CG background. That was my concern. Is
yeah,
like it does not look as clean.
It's still
right
a
now.
Movie that's not going to come out for another 5 months.
Which is
months.
Why I hope that they clean that up because it just looks really out of place.
But think about it like
now,
this.
Now, hold on. Does it look out of place because you want it to look out of place?
No, I want
it
to look
because you
place.
Look at it and you're like,
no,
DC, they're using a lot of CG.
No. If they're like, I understand they're going to need to use the CG. It's more of when they land in a like what it looks like a built like a city square. It looks like that whole thing is also CG'd. Like, did they use any actual sets?
If
is
you
my
think
concern.
About it, like this, SDCC is essentially the E3 for the comic book world.
It's
so they're
yeah,
going to show unfinished
I really,
products.
That's my one concern is if they don't clean that up, I already know people are going to start are going to bitch about that.
That's fair, but we get to see them. We get to unite the seven. It's going to be, you know, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, Commissioner Gordon, Superman's corpse, and Alfred.
Maybe Green Lantern.
Yeah, the biggest thing, like, everyone, it's such a hypey trailer, and I think that's the only reason I watched it, because it wouldn't really give away any spoilers.
It's cool that it seems like Steppenwolf is not just like, oh, he's the big bad at the end, and he's like, no, he's here to fuck shit up, and he's going to fight them one-on-one.
Yeah, and I love that fact, because it's the same thing in Earth 2, the comic, because Darkseid didn't take over Earth 2. Steppenwolf did. And Darkseid came to Earth 1, and he got fucked, so what the fuck is Steppenwolf gonna do? So it's... And just the sheer ferocity that we see of Steppenwolf is so cool.
I like that they made Steppenwolf more human-like.
Yes.
Than that alien that they showed in
the
deleted
weird
scene.
Weird demon ghost
yeah.
thing.
Because
they're
a
like,
giant suit of armor and
yeah, it's like
axe hammer.
He's supposed to be part of Darkseid's family. Like, what are they going to make Darkseid look like?
Granny goodness. That's my only hope. God,
but since they've given him a more human-like features, it's like, okay... This gives me more hope for Darkseid, that they're not going to make him some weird-looking alien and just Darkseid.
Yeah, and
like the fart cloud that was Parallax.
I think it's really cool that we actually, in that trailer, see Apocalypse. We see the fourth world, and it's like, oh my god, Jack Kirby would be, like, freaking out.
Hopefully. You would hope he'd freak out.
Yeah.
Jack Kirby actually came back to life, applauded it, and was like, I'm good.
Well, apparently, like, his grandson was at SDCC, like... Talking about all the things Jack Kirby's done in his life because it's the big celebration year for him. But there are two big things in the trailer that everyone's kind of like freaking the fuck out about. Because we have the one thing where Bruce is staring at a hologram of a red cape. And everyone's like, nah, man, that's not Superman. That's probably like Supergirl. Look at those legs. They're so dainty. Henry Cavill doesn't skip leg day.
Well, what they show is they show the red cape and then you see red boots. But you don't see a blue suit. You see what looks closer to legs.
Yeah. My theory, Shazam.
Ooh, it could be Shazam.
Because you kind of see gold bracers.
Shazam doesn't have red boots, though.
Yeah, he does.
No, he
well,
doesn't.
Occasionally.
He has white boots.
Occasionally.
Well, and that's the thing is, you made the remark of at the end of the trailer... Which this is spoilers for anyone who doesn't want to watch the trailer. But, like, there's the rumbling, and then someone walks up, and I was like, he said you would come. And all he said was, man, look at that spandex. I know that spandex.
No, I said, look at that. Did they really do that? Look at that red cape.
Yeah. And you're like,
But watching the trailer...
Could it be Supergirl coming down?
That's what I
want
to say.
Watching the trailer in slow motion, which is what I do, you hear two thumps. Before Alfred starts talking. So everyone's like, oh shit, that's probably like Superman and Supergirl, because I guess in the prequel comic for Man of Steel, Supergirl lands on Earth way before
Henry
Cavill ever did.
Yeah, the theory was when he goes into the Kryptonian ship that landed in the Arctic.
Oh yeah, you see
an open pod.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh, that has to be Supergirl.
Also, when Steppenwolf first arrives, he says, no lanterns, no Kryptonians.
He is singular.
No, he said, no more lanterns, no more Kryptonian.
Really?
Yep.
I thought he said
Kryptonians. Because there was only one known Kryptonian on Earth.
And Kryptonians don't have superpowers outside of Earth. Because of the yellow sun.
Right.
So if Darkseid wants to go fuck up Krypton, it would just be a bunch of normal people.
Yeah. And I'm assuming he saw news or something on Earth of Superman. Huh.
Well, he's dead.
That's like a Kryptonian.
He should probably attack
or
now.
If they talk about Kryptonians, they could have
again
referred
it could
to
be
Zod or any of the other ones.
Yeah, because there was the whole...
That's true.
There were four Kryptonians on Earth at
one
point.
Think it'd be awesome if Supergirl showed up. Like, that would be a huge surprise.
It would be, but then at the same time, it's like, oh, they didn't build this character up. Oh, God, character development. How am I supposed to feel?
And I could also see it... Because, again, the he said you would come doesn't necessarily refer to one person.
It also doesn't refer to that Bruce knew that Superman would come back to life.
Also, and if you...
Nobody knew that the Earth rumbled at the end.
Yeah, and Bruce is such a conspiracy theorist. I mean, come on.
He has to know that there's got to be...
So maybe it's Supergirl and Billy Batson showing up.
And apparently, if you pause the trailer at a certain point, you see a green reflection in Alfred's glasses. So everyone's like, oh, that's a fucking lantern ring. Oh my God, speculation for the next 5 months. What are you supposed to do? Or four months.
4 or 5 months.
And it's like...
When does it come out?
November.
November. Yeah, 4 months.
Fan speculation. But yeah.
We've got a lot of Star Wars speculation recently.
There hasn't been any trailer.
I don't think they want to show anything. They showed behind-the-scenes stuff at D23. And
they know people are going to go see it.
Apparently, there is a leaked Avengers trailer, but I don't want to watch crappy cell phone footage.
Of someone going, yeah!
Clapping noises! I want to clap in my own damn house. Yeah. You don't need to clap for me.
Let Marvel release it officially, and then I can clap.
Yeah. Again, it's just like such a major buzzkill if that is really Superman in the trailer, because it's like... Again, it's imagine... If you didn't know Spider-Man was in Civil War and then you went there, it's like,
I don't think they're that dumb to do this again. Like, everybody complained the last time when Doomsday showed up, when they showed Doomsday in the trailer, which I know you didn't know because you didn't watch the trailer.
He did because CW ruined it for him.
Yeah, we were watching Arrow.
We were doing our Arrow chat and all of a sudden they show the trailer and I'm like, fuck, I hope he's not watching. And then all of a sudden I get a text, wait, Doomsday's in this?
We all know the true winner of Batman vs. Superman.
I feel like
I really
think that they're fooling all of us. It's got to be a character that they want to get into the universe, but they haven't really shown yet.
Could be Red Robin.
Or could it be Booster Gold?
Booster doesn't have a cape.
Actually, when he was Supernova during 52, he wore a red cape.
Are you
not
going to
go with Supernova?
A cape, though.
Yes, sir. It's
100% sure that is a cape.
There's a cape that flaps and back.
Yeah, it does flap a little bit in the
But not in the Alfred one.
Yeah,
it does.
It flaps into frame and then back out.
It kind of shifts a little bit. Not enough for a shoulder movement, because that would be like, up to my ear and then back down.
It's like a walking movement of the cape just blowing in the
Maybe
wind.
Maybe he's just wearing a cloak or looking like Superman.
But it can be Legend of Superhero or...
Legion of Superheroes?
No. Superman Legends
X.
of Tomorrow. Their new greatest hero. Fucking Bwana Beast is going to be in the show. Bwana Beast at the circus. It's perfect.
You're the only person.
The weird thing, though,
the only person excited.
The weird thing, though, in the notes is you put Bwana Beast under Riverdale.
Yeah.
I was like, Riverdale Season 2. Bwana Beast. What?
It's right on mine.
It was under Riverdale for mine.
No, that's weird. We also got a Riverdale trailer. So instead of someone dying for this season, someone got shot instead. And there's a lot of violence in Riverdale.
Like, literally, Archie's jacket is covered in blood.
Do you ever wonder why no one rides the ambulance? Like, Archie drove his dad.
Say, he drags him through the hospital. Like, we need help. Like, did you...
Close is Pops to the hospital?
Say, did you or Pops not call an ambulance?
Or even the Cheryl thing? Like,
yeah.
He just brought Cheryl home. I'm like, no, that's a person who needs mental help. Cheryl's going off the rails, and I can't wait to watch.
Oh, God. Seriously, what happened to Mommy?
So, Zach, at the end of Riverdale, Cheryl burns her house down, and we cut to her in the trailer, and she's like, Mommy, it'll be okay, and her mom's in a full body cast.
Like, and you see in, like, under the wrapped face that she is burned to shit.
What?
And you just see her eyes bulge.
The weird thing was,
a very special person.
At the end of the season, Cheryl's mom was standing behind her outside of the burning house.
Dun, yeah. Dun, dun. Plot holes. I mean, Marvel changes their universe so often that...
Well, and again, we don't know if Mama Blossom... Or, yeah, Mama Blossom decides, I need to go back inside to get something. It burns.
I need to rescue the wigs. Because I'm going to need one.
Oh, too soon.
Oh, that's terrible.
Too soon.
Well, it's because Cheryl's father is not a true redhead, so he has to wear wigs. It's
just weird, when everyone thought everything was going to get back to normal in Riverdale... A darkness descends. Like, Pops was straight up like, yeah, no, there was something evil about him. It's like, oh.
This is the first time Pops ever spoke.
Well, this is the first time Pops said a full sentence.
Yeah.
Every time it's like, is Jughead here? Nah, I haven't seen him. Thanks, Pops.
Yeah. Is Jughead here? Points. But
thanks, Pops.
The aesthetic of Riverdale is so cool because it's modern technology, but everything else is like neon lights and... retroized. It just exists in its own bubble.
It's a city that is trying to catch up from Archie Comics times.
And like, I think that's the coolest part about them.
Yeah. It's like we're incorporating our own technology, but we have this town that we just can't seem to advance.
You know what the worst part is about Archie Comics right now? So they did the Race to the Edge storyline.
Don't know.
Where Reggie and Archie were going to race down this mountain because Archie fixed up his sports car with Bette. And then Betty's like, oh my God, I need to tell Archie to stop. And all three of them get into a crash.
Oh,
and
neat.
Betty's car actually flies off.
Oh, even neater.
She wakes up after like really tragic moments of every character remembering their favorite memory of Betty.
Oh God.
And then she just turns to her mom. It's like, Mom, why can't I feel my legs?
Oh, no.
This is the first issue of Archie since, like, number one when Mark Waid and Fiona Staples were both on the book that's completely sold out.
Jesus.
Like, I went on Midtown to go see if I could find a variant or something. Nothing. The actual opening of the comic was Betty flatlining.
Oh, fun.
And, yeah, it shows the EKG. Just beep, 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 beep.
And since Steve is Riverdale trash, I just show it to him. And he's like... No.
It's not okay.
No, it's not.
All right. And I think the very last thing I have is the Ready Player One trailer. We finally see it. It looks good. It could be like Valerian. Looks amazing.
Spielberg. It's by a major corporation or a major company and it's Spielberg, I think it has some promise.
I don't
fully quote me on that, but...
I've been
proven wrong before.
The more I think about Ready Player One, like, it's a cool idea, but the more I just remember the main character, the more I hate him.
He's a shitbag.
I fucking hate
him. The character is a really hardcore Mary Sue, and it's like, oh my God, in order to get the final key to this dungeon, I have to recite all of Monty Python and the Holy Grail by memory, or else I have to start back over. Good thing I did that already.
Or I have to beat the creator of the game's Pac-Man score, and I'm the only one who can get that high because I practice Pac-Man all the time.
So it's like a shittier version of Kirito.
Kind of.
Kirito's worse.
How is he worse?
I mean, at least he has an explanation because Kirito, he's like, I spent years studying all of this crap.
The maker of Oasis in the game, when he died, he said, I've left three keys. Anyone who finds these keys will be granted all of my values and fortunes because he died without a family. And essentially it became like a cult kind of thing where everyone started dissecting this guy's life, including his favorite games, favorite movies, and everything else.
Trying to get any clues.
Yeah. And it's like, if you do all these things and if you memorize my life, apparently, you will find the keys to Oasis. And even one of the worlds in the book is like his house. Just copy and paste it over and over and over again. So you get to visit the creator's house at any point in time you want. And like Percival is a very much Mary Sue character. It's like, oh man, because he starts off broke and then just like gets thrown into these situations that lets him get money and whatever else. And it's I bought my X-Wing fighter, my DeLorean that also has the Ghostbusters logo on it. It's the Ecto 2. And I'm like, it's such a cool, quick read. And hearing Will Wheaton do the entire thing, it's great. But it's essentially like Big Bang Theory encapsulated into a book, that's but a good way to for look at nerds.
It. Like, actually for nerds, not... But actually we're gonna, for we're going to throw some like, nerd jargon around and then put a laugh track over it so you think, wow, those nerds are funny.
Well, the way he describes the VR is how I would want VR to like eventually get to, which is pretty cool. Where it's the full haptic suit, like you feel like you saw that beginning.
Where it looked weird because he was like, "All right, let me put on these wire hangers around my neck that scans my face. Put on these gardening gloves. Put on a VR headset
because he can't afford.
In the book, that's like the low grade stuff. Like later on, he actually explains like his entire apartment is just a VR room.
My biggest fault with Percival. He lives in a trailer park where trailers are stacked on top of each other because of the great solar crisis. The
towers or whatever.
Yeah, and that looks exactly like it should. And that was such a cool shot.
Well described.
And his entire family dies in this giant explosion. It's like, well, there's nothing else I can do now but win the game. And I'm like...
I mean, granted, his family didn't give him much to like. He lived in the laundry room. Still, it was just like he just did not give a shit.
And I'm kind of mad they gave away like... H's big twist because they released the casting. It's like, this is H. I'm like, yeah, it is H, but you weren't supposed to do that. That was a cool moment in the book, but whatever. I'm going to watch it because I like Spielberg and the movie aesthetically looks good. I don't know how I feel about the giant car race. And I feel like it's going to be like Popstar reference the movie, but not
with a funny premise. Not like it's not supposed to be funny.
Yeah, it's just like I said, it's Big Bang Theory for nerds.
What I love is like the direct indication of like as soon as he gets into the VR world, it's like, hey, you want to know how this is a Spielberg movie? Iron Giant, bitches.
Yeah,
like straight up, the Iron Giant walks by. I'm like, yep,
that's actually in the book.
This is Spielberg.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, but during the great car race, you can see Freddy Krueger just in the background. Because, again, it's referenced the movie. It's the 80s and 90s and all of nerd culture in a movie. But I swear to God, if the fucking ending is the fucking Monty Python movie, I'm going to walk the fuck out of the goddamn theater.
You're going to lose your damn mind.
I was texting him because I'm like, oh, Ready Player One's great. And I was texting Kayla. I'm like, oh my fucking God. The last goddamn side quest is the fucking Holy Grail where he has to fucking say everything from memory. That's bullshit. I don't like Holy Grail.
I love Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
See, it's what happened to you and Zach, but I take it much more emotionally. It's like something gets so hyped up, but by the time you actually watch it, it's not funny.
I could see it. Like, I watched it at a young age. It's like I got the comedy and it just kind of stuck with me. Like, even rewatching it now, I realize it's not as funny as I built it up. But it's as a dumb kid, it was hilarious. And yeah, it's something stupid that like I get a chuckle out of because I remember how funny it was when I was a kid.
The best joke is when they ran out of production money and ended the film, but they should have actually ended it there.
Fuck you, the killer rabbit. Or the questions 3.
See, again, because I was in college, everyone kept throwing those references. It's like, oh, look at this nerd humor. I'm like, okay, can you explain this to me and why I should laugh? I was actually upset watching Holy Grail.
But what is the average flight speed of the Northwestern Swallow?
Unladen Swallow. African or European?
Oh, I don't know.
Where'd you get those coconuts?
My coconuts can't go to work today.
Your mother was a hamster. Your father smelt of elderberries.
Apparently, that's actually a really big insult.
Yeah, that's like a really I can't think of the word. Intricate.
It's a Victorian insult.
Yeah.
I bite my thumb at you, sir. That's my favorite insult.
Do you bite your thumb at me, sir? Nay, but they do bite my thumb.
Anyhow.
One of the greatest monologues, I gotta say.
I really want Ready Player One to be good because Valerian was so bad. Allegedly.
I'm not going to dread it until I actually see it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a theater movie for me.
No, it's not
Meg,
for me.
Meg Turney was just like, it was pretty, but it was god-awful. Like, save me, someone. I'm so sorry. Like,
that's why I can't take a lot of people's words for movies anymore.
Yeah.
Is because a lot of people have become very jaded when it comes to movies. If they're not one of the next masterpieces, they're shit movies.
But the thing with me is I look at Valerian and one... Just from the trailer alone, I don't know what the plot is. I don't barely know
who
these
characters
are.
But he tells Dane DeHaan everything. You have to go to this planet to stop these aliens from destroying everything.
Like, okay, it looks pretty. That's neat.
Everything was so blue.
The first time I saw it, it reminded me of Jupiter Ascending. I'm like, oh, that could be good, but it's probably not going to be, unfortunately.
But the dog people.
She's always loved dogs.
Channing Tatum as a dog person.
Was that Channing Tatum?
Yeah, it was. And Sean Bean was a bee person.
Kayla keeps threatening me to go I have to watch it. To the point that she did buy it on DVD.
Oh, that's evil.
It's not even on Blu-ray.
Kayla likes the aesthetic of it and loves it ironically.
Yeah.
It's like she's keeping a loaded gun in the house.
Steve, it's like how I ironically love The Room. Just for how bad it is and how many memes you can get out of it.
So bad.
It's so never hilarious, watched it. Though.
No, it's bullshit.
I did not
hear her. Oh, hi, Mark.
Can't wait for that Seth Rogen movie to come out.
I think I might have cancer. Yep, that's total cancer.
But let's also keep in mind, 2/3 of us saw the two greatest movies this weekend. Tour de Pharmacy. Another freaking Murray Miller classic.
With the Andy Samberg crew.
And Orlando Bloom. And
yeah, they're just doing all the these
silhouetted character
documentaries.
The sport mockumentaries needs to be like a new genre of HBO.
I hope they do like volleyball next or something. Because they're doing like really obscure sports that nobody really cares about.
That year, everyone in the Tour de France was kicked out because of drugs.
All but five.
Do you think I'm a cheetah just because I use cheetah blood? Are you saying cheater or cheetah?
It's really hard to understand with your accent. I don't get what's so hard to understand.
I am not cheetah.
John Cena is amazing.
John Cena and Dolph Lundgren as an older John Cena.
So, and then the second movie was Dunkirk. And I think that movie is finally solidified that if a Nolan movie comes out, I have to go see it in IMAX at this point. Because of the sound design and just
visually, it's... Very, very.
Yeah,
pretty.
I would say it's Nolan's most artsy film.
Yeah, because Nolan loves his asynchronous timelines or not just non-linear storytelling in general. But this is probably one of the hardest ones to grasp because it's told in three separate stories. That one starts at a week before
the soldier on the beach.
Yeah, one starts a day before
the civilian man
and the two kids, and then. An hour for the two pilots, or the three pilots, really.
We never saw that third pilot.
He got shot down immediately.
But yeah, it's so cool because I love those asynchronous stories because I live for the moment when they all converge.
Yeah.
Because
you start seeing those things that like come together near the end.
Wait, is that the same shit hour ago? I live for those moments. I live for Tom Hardy wearing masks. No one cared about me until I wore the mask.
So he put on the mask.
Tom Hardy was a fighter pilot, so he wore a mask. And then he was also Mad Max.
He wore the mask.
Didn't think you would do that. Didn't pick up on it.
What did you think I was doing when I was going for the cup?
Taking a drink.
It's the best way to do the Bane voice.
I hate you. But Dunkirk was awesome. You need to watch it.
Like the sound design was great. Like I've never had so much anxiety from a goddamn clock ticking the whole time.
Yeah, Zach was like, "So let me tell you my theory about the clock ticking. It doesn't matter." it legitimately doesn't matter. Hans Zimmer was just like, this sounds cool.
My theory was when the clock started ticking, not only was it like, oh, things are getting
sped up.
Yeah, it was more of the time is catching up to each other.
Nah, it was just anxiety. Dunkirk is anxiety, the movie, because you're like, oh God, that poor kid. When is he going to get off the beach?
Yeah.
Kenneth Branagh was amazing. Tom Hardy was amazing. Harry Styles was amazing.
What's interesting is that the whole movie, there's not a singular character. It's just about the stories and just the event as a whole. Like, there's no, it doesn't follow, it follows the three separate stories, but they have their own characters that you don't really need to know their names. Like, you understand their stories. Pretty much. Like, everyone's just trying to survive this.
The only characters I remember their names are the characters that someone else referred to them. Yeah. Peter! Georgie!
Those are, like, the only two I remember.
Then Tom Hardy. Spitfire, because that was the plane he was flying. That's all I know. But yeah. I think that wraps everything up. Oh, if you haven't, read Batman this week. Ballad of Kite Man.
We get the origin of Kite Man.
Fucking Charlie Brown, man.
He says, hell yeah.
Charlie Brown.
I tweeted out a meme of Tom King. So what do you want from a Kite Man origin story? Just fuck me emotionally. Say no more.
Get the guy with the comic book character name, right? That's kind of funny. Yeah.
It was... God, man.
It was a cool story. Because, you know, it's the Ballad of Kite Man.
Yeah, and it's still happening during the war, like the beginning of the war in Jokes and Riddles. It's like the build up for it.
Yeah. And it's like, you have to pick a side, says the newscasters. That's such a Frank Miller thing to do too.
If we want to deal with the Joker, we side with the Riddler. Want to deal with the if we don't want to live without the Riddler, we side. I can't do it.
If you want the Riddler to lose, we have to side with the Joker. If you want the Joker to lose, we have to side with the Riddler.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
I can't speak.
Well, you've been baking in the sun, you know, mowing.
And then got like maybe 5 hours of sleep because I couldn't fall
asleep. Do you see that picture I took of you outside?
Yes. I'm like, when did you do this?
So all the house moms can see.
God, no. I barely like doing... I fucking hate yard work, so to get myself to do our own is chore enough as it is.
Fair game. All right. That just about does it for everything else, I would assume, right?
I think so.
Yeah, go watch My Hero Academia, Dunkirk. Don't watch Valerian, maybe. It's up to you.
You're an adult. You make your own choices.
Yeah.
But we're telling you to go watch Dunkirk. That is a choice that you don't get to decide.
Atomic Blonde comes out.
You need to go see My Hero Academia, all of it. Yeah. That is not a choice. In no way is it ever a choice.
Atomic Blonde comes out the week this is released. So the Thursday, 28th, July 28th.
Yeah. I want to go see it.
I want to go see it, definitely.
I'll go see it fun. Without you guys at a matinee time.
I want to go see it at the Alamo again. I so fucking far. Love the Alamo. I know.
I'd go to the Alamo if it was closer. But
see, it's not bad because it's not bad when I go to the early showings because I get home at like 2:30. It's like not bad. It's like, yeah.
I got to say, going to the Chinese theater, because that's the only IMAX screen in our area, I didn't like it that much because I'm spoiled by all the other great movie theaters with the awesome reclining seats. And
see, Alamo doesn't have reclining seats, but they have damn comfy chairs. Mm-hmm. I love those chairs.
Like, then they have the table, so when you have your popcorn or your burger or whatever, you just have it right there. And Southlands has that too, but
their chairs aren't as comfy to me. Like, I start sweat, my back gets all sweaty, and then I have to, like, peel my shirt off.
Weird.
Yeah, it's something with the pleather that...
There's also a theater that has beds.
What?
Somewhere in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go. Sounds like there. A horrible idea. I'd
it's
fall
like
asleep.
$40 a ticket.
I'd fall asleep.
Any hoozles. I think we're done.
Are we done?
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff about the casting and the Forge, but...
I think we've loosely talked about all of it.
Okay.
Fair enough. Shout out to the Hyper Adapter.
Hyper Adapter.
Maybe that'll be my, like, separate, like, series.
Your blog post or something?
Well, no, like, I'll start a YouTube video and just, like, have a whiteboard here against the wallpaper, and it's just me.
So we're here.
So Hyper Adapter was here, and then Dr. Hurt had his god here that turned into the Hyper Adapter.
And then Dick got hit with the nth metal here from Dr. Hurt because he wanted him to see that.
Also, if you haven't, go on YouTube or Reddit or something, and Scott Snyder has the simple way to explain DC Metal, and it's actually really fascinating because he breaks it down so eloquently.
Thanks, Scott Snyder.
Yeah. It's like, all right, so here's what's going to happen without spoilers. And then he showed, like, the Dark Knights, the Batman from all the other worlds, and they look really hypey and crazy looking.
But for real, though, shout out to Scott Snyder for coming out and saying, no, this is going to be a singular thing. I'm not going to try and do tie-ins or spin-offs, or it's like I am telling a singular story.
Oh, just also, like Jeff Johns.
Yeah, with Doomsday Clock or Dark Universe?
Oh, no, that's right. It was Jeff Doomsday Johns Clock. With Doomsday Clock, where he's like, this isn't going to have tie-ins, this isn't going to have side stories.
It's a 12-issue series.
This is going to be a linear story, and that's
it. It's a 12-issue series that when it hits issue 12, everything else in the DC Universe will be caught up.
Yeah, and that's really cool because it's like, by the time Metal ends, by the time Doomsday Clock ends, we're here. This is the point we were all at. And I think he got in trouble by Dan Didio because during the Rebirth panel, he did straight up say, we know Dr. Manhattan took away that time. And Didio was like, I think this is the first time anyone's ever confirmed that it was Dr. Manhattan that stole that time. And I'm like,
whoops.
He's Jeff Johns. He can do whatever he wants.
I mean, it seemed pretty clear that it was going to be him.
All right, so I found the tweets. Doomsday Clock incorporates everything from Action Comics number 1 to Crisis to Rebirth to now. Metal, Oz Effect, some surprises, no crossovers. And then someone replied, does that mean there won't be tie-ins or that the tie-ins will be prequels? I wanted a story that is not spawning one-shots and crossovers, making this book the story all-encompassing.
Woo!
Jeff Johns knows how to write an event. This is his
third is bread one. And butter.
And Doomsday Clock will take place 1 year ahead of the DC Universe.
Like, if you think about it, his Justice League stories were like mini events inside themselves.
Yeah, and all the one-shots were self-contained, like the Darkseid War. Mm. Darkseid War only affected Justice League, and by the time Darkseid War ended, DCU started. So it was like, everything's caught up.
Praise.
Anyways, I think that's it. I think this is the third time I tried to end it.
I don't think there's anything else.
No. Pokemon Go Festival. No one's Pokemon Go loaded. There's a Lugia people caught and an Articuno. I learned today people still play Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Actively.
It only took them a year to get legendaries out. No big deal.
Yeah. Honestly, my favorite meme is like, do you want to be at Pokemon Go Fest? Take your phone, turn on airplane mode, and then try and open Pokemon Go. That's what it's like right now. I'm like, oh, how sad. Apparently, like, the speakers from Niantic got, like, booed, and one even got, like, a water bottle thrown at them. Jesus. I don't care how upset you are. You don't treat people like that.
Yeah. They made something for you to play. They're working on fixing it for you. Get over yourselves.
Yeah.
You don't deserve perfection from the get-go for a free mobile game.
Let's all remember the greatest that lesson of Dunkirk.
They didn't expect to be as popular.
The greatest lesson of Dunkirk is do whatever you can to help someone else out. And that's all you need to do in life.
Sometimes you need to let your pride just step aside.
And sometimes you need to go back to Dunkirk.
Yes.
We can't go back.
We have to. Otherwise, it's only a matter of time.
Okay, and Peter okay. locking the guy
okay,
in.
Okay, bye.
Okay, it's usually everyone. Thank you guys okay, for bye. Listening.
Talking about Dunkirk.
I really like Dunkirk.
So, it was good.
Okay, bye.
Steve hasn't seen it. Bye. I'm trying to actually wrap up now. Sir?
Okay, bye.
Young man? Never fear, for I am here.
Don't call me young man.
Thank you guys for listening. I'm sure there's a ton of other things that we're going to miss just because of SDCC going on. We're trying to end it so we can watch those announcements, or at least, personally.
Or you'll tell us about them.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. You can find us on the iTunes, the Google Play, the SoundCloud, and
check out our
YouTube.
Check out our website.
Yeah, our new website's super cool.
I redesigned it. Looks boss.
Yeah, definitely go check it out on desktop, on mobile. I'm kidding.
Hey.
I'm kidding. Zach worked very hard on the new website.
He did.
It looks fantastic. We have a lot of cool things planning out for you guys. Also, go check out... recently, we posted a new thing on our Facebook and our Twitter. It's a GoFundMe. That's ending relatively soon.
Indiegogo.
By the time this comes out, it'll have two or three days left on it.
Yeah.
We
got a little late on the announcement just because it came after our episode with Joe.
Yeah. So Labyrinth of Bones is a indie comic written by... Yeah. I want to pull it up, but now it's forcing me to open Facebook. Oh my god.
Oh my god, do it, try.
Let me just click. Okay, so Labyrinth of Bones is an indie comic. So in a world high on magic but low on hope, Gil Ridden will attempt to survive the ever-changing Labyrinth of Bones. With nothing left to lose, he will embark on a journey of revenge and deceit. It's written by a new friend named Gene Hoyle and art by David Johnson Jr. So go check it out. Like I said, we have links on our Facebook and our Twitter right now if you want to support this cool project. Thank you guys for listening. As always, we're terrific, and we love you. Bye-bye. Also, leave us a good rating wherever you listen to us on iTunes,
please,
Google Play.
Please help.
Give a comment, because we like you guys, and we wouldn't be doing this without you.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.